This morning I'm preaching in Colossians 3, 22 through 4, 1, with the parallel passage in Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Now, the context is instruction on living relationships God's way. It's about godly authority and submission. Now, Paul, if you'll remember, those who have gotten the sermons, those last three or four, Paul has told wives to submit to husbands, which reflects the way of Christ, we found out. Husbands need to love their wives, which also reflects the way of Christ. Children need to obey their parents in a Christ-like way. And fathers need to treat children properly like Christ treats them. And then next, Paul addresses slaves and masters. Now, in our country, a master-slave system similar to what was in Colossae, that was abolished about 160 years ago. But we do have a relationship, though different, which is also similar. It is the employee-employer relationship, in which employees are subordinate to and they're paid by and they work for employers. Employers and management have the authority over employees. Now, they're not slave owners, though some employees think of them that way. Some say, you know, I'm a slave to my job, or my boss is a slave driver. Our passage speaks to this with enduring principles, and so I'm going to read Colossians, and I'm going to go through Ephesians just a little bit, and then I'm going to preach from there. At Colossians 3:22, Paul wrote, "Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart in reverential respect for the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It's the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." Now Ephesians 6, starting at 5, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with awe and reverence in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service, as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. Prepare your heart for this sermon. You belong to Christ in business." Let's pray. Father, I'm asking that you guide me to preach properly and rightly, and that we would be edified, that what we take in would become part of us and we would use it. We'd even use it to benefit other people. This is what I'm asking. I want to preach your word for us to have changed lives. Please, Lord, bless us with this. In Christ's name, amen. So you, in faith, those who believe in Christ, were purchased on the cross, so you belong to Jesus. And so now you serve him as Lord, which means he's your master, owner, he's the boss. And this relationship exists everywhere, at home, in your hobbies, in your purchases, and in the world of business. Your master, owner wants you to recognize that his business is your business while you're in what we could think of is the world of business. And so here's the thing. Holding on to that reality requires changing the way you think, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind into thinking like Jesus. And there are obstacles that we're going to have to overcome to get there. For example, this is a big one. The current thinking of many Christians flows with the world's way of thinking. And what happens is it gets into the arena of business dealings and it gets into the work pursuits that go on. And so instead of acting like their part in it all belongs to the Lord, the inclination is to act like it belongs to the world system. See, it's part of the world system, it's in it, and that's it. And it's very easy to get distracted and deceived by the appearance of this pattern. And the consequence is a stumbling Christian walk. Now, one way to avoid this is for Christians who are employed in this world to recognize their God-given duty to obey employers and bosses. It's, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Now, slavery in the ancient world was common. It was normal. And some of the Christians were slaves. Some slave owners were Christians. And so by addressing slaves as if talking straight to them, what Paul is showing is that both are on the same spiritual level in Christ Jesus. Slaves were in the same church meetings, intermingled with masters as brothers in Christ. Now, in our day, employers and bosses, employees, they're all found together fellowshipping in churches. But another commonality is that the human interaction problems which occurred back then are very easy to find now. And one of the problems was disobedient with slaves, even among Christian slaves. And this reminds me of when I was in management with a company. And so people would be hired, and over time it became obvious that some of them had a problem with being managed. And here's the thing. They just didn't like having a boss. They didn't like being told what to do. You know, they didn't like following the rules. And yet they always knew, this is interesting, having a boss and being told what to do is part of being an employee. And as I noticed more and more of these kinds of people, I recognized a consistent trait. In their disrespect for the authority of others, they respected what they thought was their own authority. You see, though it was part of their job to give up that authority at work, they wanted to hold on to it anyway. Because, here's the problem, because they respect their authority more than the authority of others in their employment, they're deceiving themselves by believing obedience is optional. It's not. And so here's what they do. They obey their own selves to the detriment of the business and eventually to themselves. It's just a pattern. I've seen it. And I've noticed that those kinds of employees would only do just enough to keep from getting fired. And they'd only do it in a begrudging manner, which, by the way, shows their need to actually be managed. And they get by with just, you know, obeying management through clever tactics. That's what they do. I always try to do that. Sometimes they had disrespect for only one certain manager. And I noticed that their contempt for that one person caused problems for the whole company and actually for other employees. You know, it spreads. Other employees get infected like a disease, and then they get in trouble. Everything gets in trouble. The business gets in trouble. It doesn't help anything. It really does spread like a disease. Next thing you know, a whole lot of employees are adopting the same attitude. You can see that problems come out in many, many ways, and I'll call them both subtle and even blatant workplace aggressions. A lot on the subtle, but it does come out. Ironically, you know, this is the problem. The last directive that such people get from their management is what? Is getting fired. And consistent with the whole syndrome, such people usually blame the owner, or they'll blame the manager, or someone else for having some sort of other supposed nefarious kind of reason for terminating their employment. Now, for us Christians, the obedience to authority principle at work with employees in respect to their bosses goes way beyond respecting the authority of the management. Now get this, because this is what I've been talking about. What we see as the pattern, but what's really going on in God's pattern. It goes beyond respecting authority of management. The Spirit says it's your duty to obey your employers and bosses. And this principle gets kicked up a notch for life in the Spirit. Paul meant something higher when he said, do this for your masters on earth, your masters according to the flesh, because the raised bar, it says, is to do so because of the big master of us all. And it goes from saying, obey your earthly bosses, not with external service as those who merely please men, to do it with sincerity, sincerity of heart and reverential respect for the Lord. Do so with awe and reverence in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as mere people pleasers. So do you see how this goes from the earthly to the heavenly? That's the bar. It's being so heavenly minded, you're nothing but earthly good. And the Lord speaks to you with a different language than the business language of the world culture. And in this way, he wants you to be sincere. Sincere. More than an act. Think about how you can go along and do your job to get a raise or work to just keep your job or even just you're there to manipulate. You can appear like you're sincere, but what you're doing is just pretending. And the thing is, when you are disgruntled, you don't want to be sincere. You just want to go through the motions, get it done, and get out. But God says, go about it with sincerity of the heart. And it sounds like a very high bar to achieve, right? Well, it is. So how do you do it? Here's the thing. By actually going to where the bar is raised. You've got to proceed in reverence and respect for the Lord. See? Do it in honor of Christ, as to Christ. Do that, and your work ethic to please management, to respect management, becomes sincere. Why? Because in sincerely seeking to please God, you're seeking God's way by seeking Him. See, pleasing your management, then, it's not a separate process. It's part of this process of working out this relationship that God wants and what you're having with Him. It's right here in the Word. He's speaking. And this is why it says, do it from the heart. Your heart is where both the potential problem and the consistent remedy dwell. All kinds of people can put on a show while being insincere in their heart. Atheists do it. Politicians do it. Legalistic people do it. But the main point is that Christians can also do it. So change your submission way, your work excellence way, to sincerity at seeking high achievement. That's what we want to do. But by doing so from your heart for the Lord, it's God, I'm working for you. I'm seeking excellence for you. And when that's true, okay, true, then sincere work for your Lord from your heart will flow to those you work for because God says it will. It will go completely against your flesh, though. Your flesh may fight against it. So to do it requires faith. It's a faith walk. It's like everything. You know your faith is working when you see your adjustments producing fruits of the Spirit the way God explains for them to be. And what you're doing is actually showing tangible Christianity to others in the work world. And then there's those phrases about serving them in reverential respect for the Lord, with awe and reverence as to Christ. If you notice, I'm using Colossians and Ephesians. I just love the fact that we can do that. Each is so similar, but there's a nuance in each that the Spirit brings. But this one phrase here, awe and reverence, sometimes is translated as fear and trembling. But here's the thing. It's not fright. This was a figure of speech back then for honor. Paul used it when Titus visited the Corinthians. Paul said Titus remembered how the Corinthians had received him with the same figure of speech, with fear and trembling. Well, they were not afraid of Titus. They welcomed him with respect and honor, with reverence. Paul used it to tell the Philippians to manifest salvation, their salvation, outwardly. Why? Doing it with awe and reverence because God is the one working in them to will and work for His good pleasure. Always quote the second part of what he meant if you're going to quote the first part, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because God's working in you is what is the reason. And so this figure of speech is very important to understand because Paul's not telling slaves to be scared of earthly authorities. He's not saying be afraid of Jesus. Now, they may have been afraid of their masters. That's another matter. Same way with a Christian employee. You know, the owner or the manager may be feared, but that's not what Paul's saying to do. God simply wants your obedience to go higher than pleasing the boss. It's doing it for the Lord in honor of Him, which leads to honoring your boss or employer. So think about what this sounds like and think about what it translates into. Understand then that this is a calling. It is looking at your job like it's a ministry, like the work world is a mission field and you're God's missionary. And so here's your calling. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than men. It's the Lord Christ whom you serve. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord, not to men. That's what you're doing. And what you're doing as you do that, you're representing Christ Jesus. You're representing Him. And the business world is your mission field. You're going into the field with a greater purpose for the field than what everyone else is telling you it's for. So whenever I've been in the secular workplace, my own experiences, whether in lower level positions working for others or in upper management, owning my own company, whatever, while there, my awareness was that I was serving the interests of the business. Okay? I was also serving the interests of those above me. I saw the same thing, like I said, in businesses I owned. And so what's going on is the world has an intuitive appearance as a big, humid, generated system of businesses and jobs and commerce with all these interconnected fibers of society, and it's in self-perpetuation. It just goes on and on and on. And in each part, people are leading people, people are serving people. It just, it's this way. It's how it is. Very little of it has an appearance of being service to the Lord. Follow what I'm saying? So what happens with us Christians, we're born into this pattern. And so we grow up experiencing the world's way of thinking about the pattern, pretty much about most everything. The spiritual connection in all you do must be revealed to you by God. It just does not come naturally. And then when you understand it, we get it. You know, the Holy Spirit always works in conjunction with His Word. And when you understand it, what He wants you to do is live it in moment-to-moment mindfulness. So we've got the revelation, right? Now He wants us to actually live it out. But because the business world is not affirming God's reality, you are the one. God wants to understand your work as ministry and mission. Once again, in faith. You need to know that this is your calling. You must walk by faith in God's sovereign hand over you as His instrument at work. Not by sight of the other hands that are over you, which is so easy to do. Ministry literally means serving. So be in prayer about work. You're talking to God, so you're serving Him. Be thinking, I'm serving Christ here. God has me here to be a light. I used to do this all the time back when I was in the business world. Yeah, I used to talk to the Lord like that all the time. And with these verses, we must recognize that we're there to minister as representatives of Jesus. And this realization that you're called to be a Lord pleaser instead of just a people pleaser changes everything. Instead of thinking, all right, I'm going to get through this today. I'm going to do what it takes to please my earthly boss. In faith, be listening to God and dialogue with Him through everything. You know, He's talking to you through the Word. Moment-to-moment listening is making the thoughts of the Bible become your thoughts. So listen. You know, these two passages, Ephesians and Colossians, this is part of what He's saying, right? So say back to the Lord, I'm here at my job, Lord, I'm not working to be merely a people pleaser. I'm working for You, to please You. I'm serving You to fulfill my call. My obedience to my management is ministry because of my obedience to You, Lord. I'm going to do this job like You're directly over me. I'm going to show everyone here what it means to belong to You, because that's what You do. And as you focus on God's Word, consider the next things in Colossians 3:25 and Ephesians 6:8. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong he has done, and that without partiality. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Wow, it's another shakeup of the world's way of thinking, right? It's not about answering to your employer, to management. It's not what it's talking about. It's about answering to your Lord. You see, this is more than just some kind of a thing that we do to try to reshape it as a psychology thing. Guys, this is reality. And the principle is that the Lord knows everything that your boss doesn't know. Everything you do, everything you're thinking at work, everything. Everything you talk to other employees about, God sees it all. He's right there. Remember, you're the missionary, you're the minister. You're accountable to God. All ministers are accountable to God. He knows it. And God will not allow you to get by with wrongdoing. He won't. And God will repay you in some way for every good thing you do, because it's a promise. It's a principle of reaping and sowing. Now, there are temptations in the workplace to do wrong. Slandering, stealing, and even slumbering are some. And one is to cheat the company out of time. Very big one. Very easy one for some people to do, and that's why they do it. Extra time can be logged that should not have been. Salaried and contract workers can do the same kinds of things by claiming to be working, but they're not really. You know, when someone is goofing off, not actually doing what their job description is, you know what they're being paid for? Nothing. Which means they're cheating the company. Now, all these things may seem sweet, you know, like achievements because, you know, you got by with it, but they will Follow what I'm saying. This is God's word. As a guarantee from God, ultimately bring the sour payment from God that he promises you. Now, on the other hand, everything else we're gleaning from God's word leads to success. And the Spirit says you should understand, you should be assured that whatever good thing you do, you will receive back from the Lord. So you might not think that you're getting the proper recognition that you want at work. Okay, if you think that you can get a better job, fine. If you want to start your own business, that's great. That's also fine. But in the meantime, your God job is to do your best to be his minister in work, serving Christ to honor him. No matter what stages you're in, either you're leaving or whatever, you're complaining, it's still, you need to be serving Christ. You're honoring him. Pursue your mission to be his person who consistently does excellent things, whether any management authority appreciates it or not, because he does. And bank on knowing that you absolutely will receive good from the Lord as a scripture promise that you can hold on to. And you need to hold on to promises of scripture. The blessing the Lord gives, it doesn't always come in a manner you expect. It's not always the package that we might want. But you can expect it to come. You know, this is a lot of good teaching for employees. But this road has more than one lane with our Lord. He's got principles here for business owners and managers. For bosses, Colossians 4:1 has, "Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." Ephesians 6:9, "Masters, do the same things to those who serve you and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there is no partiality with him." Same principle as doing all things as unto the Lord because he's the one you serve. And now it's you, boss. And so consider how the Lord treats you with justice and fairness. Think about that. Well, that's the reflection you're looking to. It means don't manage in a hostile way. You know, there are Christians who manage in hostile ways. And it's really sad because people say, oh, yeah, he claims to be a Christian. It just always hurts in here when you hear that, right? And they walk all over their subordinates. I mean, maybe they're afraid they'll be the ones walked on, so they manage in wrong ways. Maybe they were taught these ways. That happens a lot. It usually has to do with thinking it's okay to leave their Christianity at home. That's usually what's going on. And so again, they buy into this deception that their Christianity means there's some other place over there that's the so-called sacred, but don't bring it into something that I'm calling the secular, like my work pursuits. You know, they think that somehow, just like some kind of weird magic, you know, different rules pop into existence when they get into the, something called the work world. Come on. They've been so influenced by the lost world culture, they think expressing the love of Christ while managing on the job is to be weak or to be wrong. We're talking about the love of Christ that he commands us as our Lord to manifest. By the way, what God dictates is never weak. And God wants the godly way to be your strength. So be direct. Use your authority. But do it the way God says in his word. Paul says, be just, and he says, be fair. That's just a few of the chemicals in the formula. You know, God's word is full of so much more. But being just and fair is very important. Paul didn't say that masters need to act like there's no line of defined respect and authority. It's not saying, well, let those under your charge walk all over you and get by with things which jeopardize the business and dishonor the line of authority. Now, it's not saying to never fire people who are not performing in such a way as to benefit the company's needs for profit. It's saying justice and fairness is the kind of godly manifestation God wants for Christian business owners and managers. If you need to reprimand someone, and that happens, you know, you got to reprimand someone, be just and fair about it, considering the best for the business and for the employee. If you need to fire someone, be just and fair about it by recognizing that to do so is best for them and for the company because they're not a right fit. Try not to operate from the imbalance of emotions. Be just and fair about someone hurting the company by assessing them to be a liability because that's what they're being. And then proceed knowing it's not good for them to be a company hurter. It's just and fair to terminate their job for the business's good as well as theirs. If their employment cannot be afforded anymore, then it's both just and fair to let them go. You know, now, employees want to make a living, right? But business exists to make a living as well, which means to make a profit. So without bringing profit to the business, an employee becomes a liability. And that's not just and fair to the business, especially business owner. You know, if the employee cannot do the job they're hired to do, they cannot adjust, follow, they need to find one they can do to fulfill the obligation they're being paid for. You know, business is not the same as charitable organizations. Now, ultimately, it says there's no partiality with God in respect to any of this. So every Christian leader, from heads of nations, think about it, to CEOs of companies, to upper management, to lower management, all the way down to a brand new employee, is recognized by God as being on the same level. God does not show partiality like humans tend to show partiality in the way they treat others, or in treating some with what seems like more justness than others. God sees saved people as being his people, and he sees everybody else that's equally saved to be equally his, right? God also sees unsaved people as all equally unsaved, all equally doomed to perish without him. The reaping and sowing principle of these passages applies to everyone in some very tangible sense. So I urge you, remember who you are in Christ Jesus at all times, right? Everywhere you are, not just here this morning, at the workplace, who you belong to, make his property shine. What do I mean when I say his property? You know, make his property, you, shine. And while you partake in business, shine the light of the awe and reverence that you have for the Lord. Check yourself. Ask, am I working wholeheartedly for God? If not, make the adjustment. Know that the good you do will lead to more good that you're going to receive back from him. And you're going to avoid consequences for doing wrong, which come without partiality. If you're a business owner, you're a manager, since you belong to Christ, grant justice and fairness to those under your charge, always being mindful that you have a manager in heaven who is watching every single thing you do and think. Amen.